afraid. Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's just pray. Father, we want to pray that you would help us to understand your word. Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us through it. Lord, that you would take my lips and use them, that you'd speak through them for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. I'm going to begin by showing you a little clip. Hopefully it's familiar to you. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, if you had to describe what this guy was suffering from, what would you say? Arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, this tarantula, obviously was something that he was so afraid of. Now, there's some images coming up. What do you think these fears are that are coming up? Fear of heights. This is one that I can relate to. Going along the Carcarried Rope Bridge is something that when my kids look back, they said to Joanne, my dad, okay. Because I was like this, and my face was completely white. And then I suddenly realized when I got to the other side, look, I'm going to have to go back across this bridge again. It took me probably a good hour to recover from that. I have a fear of heights. What about the next one? Some people might have been suffering from this over the past few days. Thunder and lightning. Some people have a fear of thunder and lightning. As you probably see, if any of you have watched The Sound of Music, that they had that fear in The Sound of Music. What about the next one? Fear of the dark. Some people keep on because they're afraid of the dark. What about the next one? Fear of snakes. Some people have this fear. When we were in Kenya or in Uganda, actually, it was we were showing this film, Jurassic Park. It hadn't come to a scary part at all, and all of a sudden, people began to scream. They got off their chairs. They started stamping their feet. We were sort of thinking, what's going on here? And there was a snake in the grass. Fear of snakes. What about the next one? Fear of flying. And there are so many fears. Do you know what the number one fear in the world is? Nope, that's number two. Cows, no. Nope. Nope. It's actually a fear of speaking in public. People would rather die than speak in public. That's what it goes boils down to. There's a fear of speaking in public. That's the number one fear in the world. Strange, isn't it? For us as Christians, sometimes we can be crippled by fear of what other people think of us, or fear of speaking about our faith or whatever. And so when it comes to love and a skill, and maybe there are fears that are stopping you from saying yes to that. But in the passage we have in verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. We see the disciples were afraid. And when you think about it, these were fishermen. For many of them, they were fishermen. They were used to storms on the lake. So this must have been a pretty bad storm for them to be in this place where they're so afraid that they think they're going to drown. That's where they were at. They were gripped with fear. Now, for many of us, we go through storms in our lives. What can this passage teach us about when we're in that storms, but also at the end, I want to look at how can we help others who are going through storms? What's the right approach? Okay, so the first thing is knowing that God is with us. Jesus was with them. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus was asleep, but he was with them. He was with them. And here they are, they're being afraid, and they've failed to realize who Jesus is. They'd already seen many miracles that Jesus had done, whether it be the guy with the withered hand or whatever. If you look through Mark's gospel, we see that Mark brings us this phrase, the people were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at the miracles that he did. But here's the disciples with Jesus, with God in the boat, and yet they're afraid. They'd taken their eyes off Jesus. They had failed to realize who he truly was. And if you look through the Bible, there are 365 fear nots, or do not be afraid. There's one for every day of the year. And quite often when God says, don't be afraid, he backs that up by saying, because I'm with you. I'm with you. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. If I'm with you, why be afraid? God's with us, the one who made the world, the one who nothing is impossible. Then why should we be afraid? Genesis 26, 24, do not be afraid, for I am with you, God says to Jacob. You probably know Joshua. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Look through the Bible and see how many times God says, don't be afraid, but backs it up by saying, because I'm with you. What does Jesus say? Jesus tells us that we're to go out into the world. We've got the commission to go. But what does he say? You don't have to be afraid, because I'm with you. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. We don't have to fear because God is with us. The next thing is that he's for them and he's for us. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Yeah, that's a lie of the enemy. A lie of the enemy that we see going right back to Genesis. This idea or this lie from the enemy that God doesn't have your best interests at heart. God doesn't care. He's keeping something good back from you. That's what really Satan was saying to Adam and Eve when he came and said, "Yeah, look, God knows that you'll be like him. He's keeping something back." Now, if you look at it, in Genesis, God made everything, and when he made man, male and female, what did God say? What did God say at the end of every day? It's good. What did he say when he made man? It's very good. So did they have a knowledge of good? If everything that God made was good, and when he made man, male and female, he said it's very good, did Adam and Eve have a knowledge of good? Yeah. So what was Satan offering them? Yeah, a knowledge of evil. That's what he was offering them. God was trying to protect them. And instead, they listened to the lie of the enemy, who says, God doesn't care. He's trying to keep something back from you that's good for you, whereas actually it was bad for them. You will surely die. And that's what they did. That's what happened. They surely did die. They died spiritually. There was that gap that was created between them and God and between each other. God was protecting them or trying to protect them from something that would harm them. But they listened to the lie of the enemy. God doesn't care. He's keeping something back. God cares more than anyone could possibly. There's no one who cares more than God. And that's the truth that we need to get so deep into our lives and into our hearts. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is what we read in Romans 8, verse 31. And we see even when Jesus is going through the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about God caring. God caring for even the birds. And if even one of them falls to the ground, God knows. And if God cares for them, how much more? Our Father is the how much more Father. How much more will he care for you? Then we have, when Jesus teaches the prayer that often people use as a prayer rather than as a teaching on prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a teaching of prayer. So there's really seven prayers there and teaching people how to pray. But he says at the end of it, look, you fathers, if your son comes and asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? No. The answer is no, isn't it? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, we believe in a how much more Father. He loves us so much. He loves us more than anyone will or could love us. And so we need to know and realize that God does care and that he is for us. And the last thing is that he's greater than them and he's greater than us. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. At the end, we see them being terrified because they see who God is. They see Jesus is able to do more than they could imagine. We don't know, we won't find out until we get to heaven what it was that they woke Jesus up for. But we can know for sure that they didn't expect Jesus to do what he did. Do you see that? Because when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and everything was calm, they said, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They weren't expecting that. We don't know what they expected, but Jesus did the unexpected. And we believe in a God who does the unexpected. He does immeasurably more than all we can ever ask or imagine. He's a God who is bigger than we imagine. And that's the thing that we need to grasp as well, that often we make our God too small. And that's where the difficulty is, that when we get into situations, storms, we lose sight of God. We fail to realize that God is with us. When Joanna and I were in Kenya, you remember the Nairobi bomb that happened. We were in Kenya at that time, and there was a church that was saying that no Christians were killed in the Nairobi bomb because God wouldn't let that happen. And it was preaching really prosperity gospel. And they were going around with bumper stickers saying we're protected by Psalm 91. Now, if you read Psalm 91, it talks about no disaster will come near your tent and so on. And so they were saying that God wouldn't let that happen. But actually, if you read the end of Psalm 91, God says, I will be with you in trouble. Yes, sometimes God calms the storms, like what happened in this story. But we need to realize that if the storm isn't calm, he's with us. He's with us, and if he's with us, he'll take us through it to the other side. We need to realize that God is big. He is mighty. He's the Almighty. Nothing's impossible for him. And therefore, we need to trust God is great and awesome. So when we're in the storms, we need to remember that he's with us, that he's for us, and that he's greater than us. But what about if you're not going through the storm? And it's someone else. At the minute, Joanne and I were going through the Bible in 1 year. And we're at a section which, you know, sometimes is really difficult to read. And that's Job. Job. Like, and you're talking about sort of every day, it's like at least three chapters of Job. And so much of Job is a lot of nonsense. Because you have these friends who are saying things that aren't right. And Job is saying, look, about this comfort that they're not giving him. And Job says to them in Job 16, he says, if it was me, I would be comforting. I would be doing things differently. You see this, but my mouth would encourage you. comfort from my lips would bring you relief. That's what Job says. If he was in this situation, he wouldn't be like those friends who were basically saying, it must be your sin. You must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. And then we see them even saying, oh, you neglected the poor and you did this, that, and the other thing, which he didn't. They were speaking false things into his life. When he needed friends, they weren't helping. They were making the storm worse. It's interesting, later on in the same chapter, this is what he says, my intercessor is my friend. Do you know, that's the other thing, that the intercessor is Jesus. He's always interceding for us, isn't he? And you have that sense that Job looked far, far ahead. We have that verse where it says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that one day he will stand upon the earth. Job was a mighty man of faith. He trusted in God despite the storms. But his friends, the story of Job, shows us how we shouldn't react when others are in a storm. We need to be like Job would have been if it had been in the other, if the shoe had been the other foot. He would have been someone who would have comforted, brought relief. He would have been someone who would have interceded and prayed for. So if you're not the one in the storm, how can you help someone? By being like Job would have been. By being someone who helps to show someone or remind them that God is with them. That God is for them. And that we point them to the one who's greater than us, Jesus. That nothing's impossible for him. And we pray for them. We become their friend by being an intercessor. By standing in the gap for them. By coming alongside them, like we see Moses up the mountain. When he grew tired, he had two helping him to keep his hands up. And we can be that way when someone's going through a storm, rather than being like Job's friends. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are an amazing God. There's none like you. And we see that, Lord, so many times that you speak to people who were going through hard times. Comfort my people. You spoke words of encouragement, but also helping people to see who you really are. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He does not grow tired or weary. Lord, would you help us? Help us, Lord, that we would not lose sight of the fact that you are with us, that you're for us. And that you are so, so great. Maybe if you're going through a storm right now, you just want to stand. So we can stand with you. Sense that someone's got something wrong with their left wrist. just ask you if you wanted to come up and we'll